ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This podcast is recorded on the lands of the Awabakal, Darug, and Eora people. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is facing charges of bribery, fraud, and breach of trust. And it all came about because of a garbled, barely audible voice recording taken from inside someone's pocket.
Shouldn't have thought about that.
No.
The police came across it almost by accident when they were investigating something else entirely. The sound quality is terrible, but you can make out the voices of Netanyahu and Arnon Moses, the publisher of one of the country's most popular newspapers. They're sitting on the outdoor patio of the Prime Minister's residence. It starts out innocently enough. They have a little chat about cigars. Netanyahu loves them. Moses has never smoked one in his life. Neither of them drink. But pretty rapidly, they get down to business. Netanyahu doesn't like the way that Moses' newspaper, Yediot Haronot, is covering his government. So Moses makes Netanyahu an offer. He says, I'm looking you in the eyes and telling you if we can come to an agreement on this law, I will do all I can to make sure you stay here as long as you want. Stay here, meaning stay as Prime Minister. Moses offered favourable news coverage in exchange for Netanyahu's support on a legislative change that would help his media empire, a quid pro quo. This recording is now a key piece of evidence in a criminal trial of Benjamin Netanyahu, the man who is leading Israel's military campaign in Gaza and the Middle East.
He's currently on trial for alleged bribery, fraud, and breach of trust, charges he denies.
Netanyahu is doing everything he can to stay in office, because if he stays in office, he can't be thrown in jail. But unlike Donald Trump's vaguely similar situation in the US, this one has an old-school flavour. A fierce battle between media tycoons, reminiscent of the battles between Rupert Murdoch and Kerry Packer in the heyday of newspapers. This story even involves Kerry Packer's son.
Caught right in the middle of it is Australian billionaire James Packer.
It is a rollicking tale. But Netanyahu's tangle with the law could change the fate of the war in the Middle East. I'm Matt Bevan, and this is If You're Listening. So, how did Netanyahu get into this mess? Well, let's get familiar with our main characters, Bibi and Noni. Sorry, Israelis love nicknames.
Benjamin Netanyahu, otherwise known as Bibi.
And Arnon Moses is almost always called Noni.
Noni Moses.
Noni Moses.
Noni Moses was born into a high-flying family whose main game was news. His father, Noah, was the publisher of the daily newspaper Yediot Haronot, meaning latest news. But Noni's life was shaped by three horrific traffic accidents. The first was when he was a little boy. His older brother was run over by a bus and killed. In the second, Noni's father was teaching him how to drive when Noni lost control of the car and ran over a 10-year-old girl, killing her. Noni's father, one of the most influential people in Israel, was sentenced to a year in jail and served 5 months. After his release, Noni joined the family paper as a sports reporter and was groomed to eventually take over what had by then become by far the most read newspaper in Israel. But the third traffic accident cut his apprenticeship short. The day before his father Noah was due to go on holiday, he thought that he would pop in one last time to check that everything was okay at the paper. As Noah was crossing the road outside, he was hit by a bus and killed. At age 33, Noni became publisher of the biggest paper in Israel. And he kept it on top, riding the massive final wave of newspaper advertising revenue through the 1990s. During that time, the paper made an enemy, BB, the man who scraped into the Prime Minister's office by a razor-thin margin in 1996.
Israelis had gone to bed thinking Shimon Peres would be their next Prime Minister. By the time they woke up, it looked more like Benjamin Netanyahu.
Now, Bibi Netanyahu was already famous in Israel because of his family's history of being involved in incredible hostage rescue missions and his subsequent career in foreign relations. Go back and check out that episode if you haven't heard it already. There's a link to it in the show notes. Bibi was also a well-established right-wing figure in Israel, and Yediot Haronot was a centrist paper, which put the two at odds. Less than a year after Benjamin Netanyahu became Prime Minister, he was charged for the first time.
After a long investigation, police have recommended that Mr. Netanyahu be charged over a corruption scandal. But the Prime Minister is refusing to stand down.
And Yediot Haronot reported it every step of the way.
News that Israel's right-wing Prime Minister could be indicted have rocked the country to its core.
But the paper was even more interested in stories about the private lives of the Prime Minister and his wife, Sarah. They were portrayed as being indulgent, living the life of luxury at taxpayers' expense. Bibi's weight gain was commented on. Yediot published an investigation about them renovating their private home and then passing the bill onto the taxpayer.
Police claim the Netanyahus ran up a $150,000 plus bill for work on their private residence, which they allegedly tried to pay from the government coffers.
They also broke a story saying that the taxpayer was shelling out $3,100 a month for Netanyahu's cigars. In 1999, when Bibi lost an election and left office, the paper said that he and his wife took a bunch of stuff with them.
The couple are accused of keeping hundreds of gifts worth nearly $200,000 received when Mr. Netanyahu was Prime Minister. Police say the items, which reportedly include plates, carpets and a gold letter opener, are the property of the state.
The couple were repeatedly dragged into police stations for questioning.
These allegations are completely baseless. Possibly they're politically motivated, but I'm absolutely confident that the Attorney General will shut this case because we did nothing wrong.
And he did. Over and over it was found that there wasn't enough evidence to prosecute the Netanyahus. It damaged Bibi. And the near constant newspaper coverage of his mistakes only made things worse. Bibi tried to get back into office in 2006, but didn't even come close.
Benjamin Netanyahu was the biggest loser in this poll.
Bibi's story might have ended there, but fate dealt him a new card. Something happened that would put Bibi's star back on the rise and torpedo Noni Moses' life's work. In 2007, the American casino magnate and Republican Party mega donor Sheldon Adelson wanted to get more involved in politics in Israel. He didn't like the way that the sitting Prime Minister was handling relations with Palestinians. He wanted Bibi Netanyahu back. But Bibi had a reputation problem. So, how do you change the hearts and minds of the Israeli people? You change the story. Adelson launched his own newspaper, Israel Ayom, or in English, Israel Today, and began operating it unlike any other newspaper in the free world. It runs at a loss, a massive loss, like it loses $20 to $30 million a year. Firstly, it's free. You just grab it and go, no charge. It also undercuts its competitors on advertising prices, and unlike most free newspapers around the world, it has a large, well-paid staff. But losses were no problem. Adelson just tipped Las Vegas casino money into it because it did the one job he needed it to do, support Bibi Netanyahu no matter what. Within 2 years of Israel Ayom's founding, it had achieved two things. It ended Yediot Haronot's 40-year run as the most popular paper in Israel and took the top spot. Plus,
Benjamin Netanyahu has begun the task of forming a new government.
Bibi was back in the top job and loving every minute of it. He and Sarah spent time hanging out with billionaires, hobnobbing with world leaders and living the high life. This was where they belonged. Israeli Hollywood movie producer Arnon Milchan was their biggest benefactor. initially giving them gifts of cigars, champagne and clothes, and then eventually just telling the Netanyahus that they could ask his personal assistant for whatever they wanted. In 2014, Milchan introduced the couple to Australian billionaire casino magnate James Packer, and the gifts kept coming.
Mr. Packer became part of the pack. Mr. Packer purchased a $1 million beachfront mansion in Israel, right next door to the private home of Mr. Netanyahu.
Adelson had got Bibi back in power, but Noni Moses' paper was collateral damage. Noni was furious. Not only was Netanyahu thriving despite his newspaper's attempts to pull him down, he was also getting good coverage in the newspaper that was eating Yediot's lunch. Netanyahu says that Noni Moses told him he had destroyed the legacy of generations of the Moses family, its life's work. A campaign began to try and force Israel Ayom to compete on a fair playing field with the other papers. A law was brought to the Israeli parliament which would ban daily full-sized papers from being distributed free of charge. Now, obviously, Netanyahu wasn't going to support this. But then, Noni Moses and Bibi Netanyahu met on the balcony of the Prime Minister's residence. And Noni Moses said, if we can come to an agreement on this law, meaning the law to ban Israel Ayom, I will do all I can to make sure you stay here as long as you want, meaning stay in office. Immediately, Netanyahu seemed to jump on the opportunity. He named a number of Yediot columnists who he thought were biased against him. Moses says if Netanyahu can recommend some more friendly columnists, he will hire them. The conversation goes on for 3 more hours. The recording is so dreadful that it's hard to discern what they're saying in parts of it. But the sentiment was clear. You scratch my back, I will scratch yours. Funnily enough, nothing came of the saga. The Israel Ayom law didn't pass. Yediot continued to attack Bibi consistently. Noni and Bibi remain bitter enemies. But investigators think this may not be the first time that such a quid pro quo was put to Netanyahu. They've also found evidence of a similar arrangement with an entirely different media outlet, positive coverage in exchange for regulatory changes. These conversations, these apparent deals, are what Bibi is on trial for right now.
It's alleged Mr. Netanyahu made a deal to boost a newspaper's business in return for favourable coverage.
Oh, and also,
James Packer and another billionaire have been questioned about lavish gifts.
Yeah, those gifts from James Packer and Arnon Milchan. There's no allegation of wrongdoing against James Packer, but Bibi is accused of trying to cut Milchan's taxes, change regulations to benefit him, and get Milchan a long-term US visa. Netanyahu denies any wrongdoing, but many of his opponents have argued that he should step down as Prime Minister while fighting corruption charges in court. So, why is he still the Prime Minister? Well, that's where this goes from an icky political corruption story into a globally significant story that is shaping the conflict in the Middle East. See, staying in office as Prime Minister increases his chances of staying out of jail, but staying in office has proven difficult. The allegations against Bibi have left him with few friends on the centre-right side of politics, so he's allied himself with extremists on the far right of Israeli politics.
Israel's longest-serving Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, has ushered in the most right-wing government in the country's history.
Netanyahu's far-right cabinet has been accused of pursuing policies which have compromised Israel's safety and inflamed tensions with neighbouring countries. The conflict between Israel and Hamas is costing thousands of lives, and the risk of open warfare between Israel and Iran is rising. Meanwhile, Netanyahu's trial drags on. If You're Listening is written by me, Matt Bevan. Supervising producer is Yasmin Parry. This is the 9th episode that we've done on the current Middle East conflict. You can check out the whole set on YouTube or by scrolling back in our podcast feed. I'll catch you next week.